Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One key concept to Søren Kierkegaard's work, Fear and Trembling, it's really one of the most core ideas, is what he calls a teleological suspension of the ethical. And when you first hear that, or when you first read it at the beginning of Problema 1, you may well say to yourself, this is a lot of jargon. I don't understand what he is trying to get across in asking this very question that begins the problema. Is there a teleological suspension of the ethical? And he brings it up at several points. He also does explain what this term means, and he requires us to face up to what we might call a key decision about whether it's even possible or coherent, or whether it's not, in which case there are some very important implications, not only for the Abraham story, but for faith in general and the relationship between religion and ethics. So let's start with this term telos. This is a Greek word that in the text is actually kept in the Greek, and telos is the word that we get teleological from. Teleological pertaining to the telos. And a telos is an end or a goal or a purpose. So when, for example, I ask my class the first day of a new semester, why are you here? I'm asking them for a telos. And they may give me an answer like, well, my advisor told me I need to take this intro to philosophy or ethics or whatever other class it happens to be. And that's good. We have now an end, a purpose, a goal, and we have some sort of means or some way to get there. And the means is relative to the end. The means has value in relation to the end. By the way, as a little bit of digression, sometimes people throw out this, does the end really justify the means? And the answer is, in most cases, yes. That's the whole point of having an end, a telos. If you say to yourself, I'm going to get a birthday present for so-and-so, and somebody says, well, why the hell are you spending money on that? There's probably some telos to it. It might not be a great telos. It could be, well, I want to get in good with them so that they'll help me find a job. Thing rather tawdry and commercial. Or it could be, oh, I want to bring joy to them. Or it could be a number of other different reasons. But what we do as human beings, the activities that we engage in are purposive. They have tele, that's the plural for it. And we can think about how we arrange these in relation to each other. And so the ethical is going to be very much shot through with a telos. So Kierkegaard tells us, he begins by saying the ethical as such is the universal. As the universal, it applies to everyone. And then he says, this also means it doesn't just apply to everyone right now, it applies at all times. If something truly is an ethical norm, we think that it applies to everybody, at least those who are in, you know, those sorts of circumstances, at all times, in the future, in the past, in the present. So he says, it rests immanent in itself. Now, what does that mean, immanent in itself? That it has its meaning there within itself. It says, it has nothing outside of itself that is its telos, its end or purpose, but is itself the telos for everything outside itself. And this is a very important point that we should linger on. When somebody says, well, why should I be ethical? That's a sign that they are asking for a telos outside of the ethical. So in, for example, business ethics, we try to make the case quite often that, well, if you behave in an ethical manner, it's going to improve your bottom line. And that's not entirely bad or wrong, but it makes teaching ethics a bit more difficult, doesn't it? Because it does give the impression that the reason why we want to be ethical, the reason why ethics matters, why we should teach it, why we should study it, why we should learn it, why we should apply it, is so that we can make a lot of money or the corporation that we're working for can make a lot of money. And if you're saying something like that, that becomes the telos then. In that case, you could talk about a teleological suspension of the ethical, but to a lesser value. There's a miscomprehension going on there. So properly understood, the ethical does not have a telos outside of itself. It is what provides the telos to everything else outside of itself. Why do we do art? Well, there's going to be some reason within the realm of ethics that can place that in proper context. Why should we take our medicine? Why should we take this class? All of this, according to Kierkegaard, could be placed within the framework of the ethical. He goes a little bit further with this. He says the single individual, sensately and psychically qualified in immediacy, is the individual who has his telos, his end, his purpose, his goal, his meaning, we might say, in the universal. And what does this mean? This means that the individual has to align him or herself with the moral demands of the ethical, or they are wrong, or they are bad, or they are, let's just call it, evil, because that's a term that he uses here, taking this, by the way, from, you know, reading Hegel. So he goes on and he says, the ethical task of the individual is to continually express himself in this, in the goal, to annul his singularity in order to become the universal. As soon as the single individual asserts himself in his singularity before the universal, he sins, he does wrong, he fails, morally speaking. And only by acknowledging this can he be reconciled again with the individual. So let's take an example. Why should you not lie? Because lying is, in general, wrong. And we can get into all sorts of like limit cases about, well, what about in this case and what about that case? But just start with, in general, lying is wrong. Most of the time that we transgress that, it's not because we're trying to save a whole maternity room full of babies that are about to be killed by the axe murderer. It's not these thought experiments that philosophers like to bring up. It's because we don't want the truth to come out for one reason or another, usually because of how screwed up we ourselves are, motives that we don't acknowledge, or if we do acknowledge, we allow them to dominate ourselves. And insofar as we do that, we transgress that norm. We do not fulfill the telos. And if we want to fulfill that telos, then we have to say, I did the wrong thing and I'm going to make it right. In the case of lying, it might be publishing a retraction or telling the truth and publicizing the truth in some other way or making a resolution not to lie again. Doing the work that would be involved to actually have access to the truth if one lied because of sloppy thinking or not dealing with one's emotions well or anything along those lines. So this is all fairly straightforward and helps you understand how it is that the telos within ethics functions as the end, the goal within ethics. So how do we get to a teleological suspension? Well, let's go on a little bit further. He says, if this is the highest that can be said of man and his existence, that the individual should align him or herself with the universal, and insofar as they don't, they are engaging in some sort of moral failure or sin, then, he says, the ethical is of the same nature as a person's eternal salvation. Now, that may sound very theological to you, but here you should read this in terms of the highest value. Whatever it is that is best would be contained in the ethical. Whatever it is that if we were properly functioning human beings, we would naturally want to align ourselves with would be contained in the universal. So we're posed with a key question here. Is the ethical the absolute highest? Is it the ceiling, so to speak? Is it the divine, as he goes on to say, could be looked at as a perspective and was, in fact, a perspective for paganism? Is it one's eternal salvation? If so, then the knight of infinite resignation is the best person that you can possibly be, or the tragic hero, or any of the other figures that he talks about in that way, like Socrates, for example. So if that's the case, then there's no way to have a teleological suspension of the ethical, because you can't get a telos outside of the ethical. Any telos that would be outside of the ethical would be below the ethical. So if it's money, or it's beauty, or it's some other impulse, that would be below the ethical, and you would be not teleologically suspending, but you would be taking the wrong telos, right? But, and here's the key thing, if the ethical is not the highest, and this is a thought that many people can't even wrap their heads around necessarily, at some point in time. If it's not, then the ethical can be teleologically suspended, meaning that it can be made relative to something above it. To use that metaphor of the ceiling, if there really is a ceiling of the ethical, are there cracks within the ceiling that let some light come in from above, something higher, something greater, something more valuable, something that trumps the ethical? Abraham's story, if it's going to be about faith, turns on that very point. So he says, that which is suspended is going to be not just relinquished, but preserved in the higher, which is its telos. And the question is how that can happen. He also talks about that what Abraham's story shows us and what faith shows us and what thinking about other people in this similar situation is that if there is a teleological suspension of the ethical, this is because there is a paradox, which he calls faith, that the single individual is higher than the universal. So normally, we should subordinate ourselves to the universal. And in doing so, we would find our full purpose there, the meaning of our lives there, the true value to which we would sacrifice other things, like maybe our own personality or our prospects. But there's also a possibility that there could be something higher than that, and we could relate to that as individuals, and that is indeed what he says the Abraham story reveals to us. He says, by means of the universal, the single individual, who as the single individual becomes superior, they are in relation to the absolute, an absolute relation to the absolute. Now let's talk about the Abraham story. He says, the story of Abraham contains just such a teleological suspension of the ethical. And he talks about all the different interpretations that scholars have come up with, which attempt to try to say that Abraham is somehow still within the ethical, or that maybe it's just short-circuited at this particular time. And none of those really work, he says. He says, what their wisdom amounts to is the beautiful proposition that basically everything is the same. Everything can be made into an analogy. And he says, this doesn't really work. Why not? Because Abraham acts by virtue of the absurd. It is precisely the absurd that he as the single individual is higher than the universal. There is no mediation possible. And he says, listen, what is the ethical? What is this highest value that should be observed for Abraham? He says, in ethical terms, Abraham's relation to Isaac is quite simply this. The father shall love the son more than himself. And we can come up with other things as well, and this is where the tragic hero comes in, who we don't really need to talk to at this point. But there is an ethical norm that Abraham doesn't seem to be following. In following God's command to, or request, or however you want to frame it, to sacrifice Isaac, he is transgressing the ethical. And if there isn't any teleological suspension of the ethical, then Abraham is either insane or a horrible murderer, and we shouldn't look to him at all. Kierkegaard tells us that Abraham does in fact transgress the ethical, but he does so in favor or motivated by a higher telos. He says there is a higher telos outside of the ethical, in relation to which he suspended it. And this cannot be made universal. You can't say, well, everyone should behave the way Abraham did, because then it would go back within the realm of the ethical. Instead, we have to recognize that if we think that there is a teleological suspension of the ethical, there are cases where the ethical isn't enough, and it requires being given a telos outside of itself that puts everything else into context, that preserves while at the same time transgressing the ethical. And he asks, how does the single individual reassure himself that he's legitimate? Can he say, well, Kierkegaard told us there's a teleological suspension of the ethical, so therefore there's one for me? No, because that again would be to make it universal. It has to be looked at on a case-by-case-by-case basis. It can't be turned into something like a program. So again, another key part of this, the individual is placed in an absolute relation to the absolute. What is going on in this is that something higher than the ethical is being acknowledged, and the ethical is being suspended at this point, in this context, for this person, in relation to that higher thing, which in this case is God and God's request or command of Abraham. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.